and Catherine Emmerich. Continuing Chapter 22, The Scourging of Jesus. Jesus trembled and shuddered as he stood before the pillar, and took off his garments as quickly as he could, but his hands were swollen. The only return he made when his brutal executioners struck and abused him was to pray for them in the most touching manner. He turned his face once towards his mother, who was standing overcome with grief. This look quite unnerved her. She fainted and would have fallen had not the holy women who were there supported her. Jesus put his arms around the pillar, and when his hands were thus raised, the archers fastened them to the iron ring which was at the top of the pillar. They then dragged his arms to such a height that his feet, which were tightly bound to the base of the pillar, scarcely touched the ground. Thus was the Holy of Holies violently stretched, without a particle of clothing, on a pillar used for the punishment of the greatest criminals. Then did two furious ruffians, who were thirsting for his blood, begin in the most barbarous manner to scourge his sacred body from head to foot. The whips or scourges which they first made use of appeared to me to be made of a species of flexible white wood, but perhaps they were composed of the sinews of the ox or of strips of leather. Our loving Lord, the Son of God, true God and true man, writhed as a worm under the blows of these barbarians. His mild but deep groans might be heard from afar. They resounded through the air, forming a kind of touching accompaniment to the hissing of the instruments of torture. These groans resembled rather a touching cry of prayer and supplication than moans of anguish. The clamor of the Pharisees and the people formed another species of accompaniment, which at times, as a deafening thunder stormed, deadened and smothered these sacred and mournful cries, and in their place might be heard the words, "Crucify him!" Pilate continued parleying with the people, and when he demanded silence in order to be able to speak, he was obliged to proclaim his wishes to the clamorous assembly by the sound of a trumpet. And at such moments, you might again hear the noise of the scourges, the moans of Jesus, the imprecations of the soldiers, and the bleating of the paschal lambs, which were being washed in the Probatica pool at no great distance from the forum. There was something peculiarly touching in the plaintive bleating of these lambs. They alone appeared to unite their lamentations with the suffering moans of our Lord. The mob was gathered together at some distance from the pillar at which the dreadful punishment was taking place, and Roman soldiers were stationed in different parts round about. Many persons were walking to and fro, some in silence, others speaking of Jesus in the most insulting terms possible, and a few appearing touched, and I thought I beheld rays of light issuing from our Lord and entering the hearts of the latter. I saw groups of infamous, bold-looking young men, who were for the most part busying themselves near the watch-house in preparing fresh scourges, while others went to seek branches of thorns. Several of the servants of the high priest went up to the brutal executioners and gave them money, as also a large jug filled with a strong, bright red liquid, which quite inebriated them and increased their cruelty tenfold towards their innocent victim. The ruffians continued to strike our Lord with unremitting violence for a quarter of an hour, and were then succeeded by two others. His body was entirely covered with black, blue, and red marks. The blood was trickling down on the ground. The two fresh executioners commenced scourging Jesus with the greatest possible fury. They made use of a different kind of rod, a species of thorny stick covered with knots and splinters. The blows from these sticks tore his flesh to pieces. His blood spouted out so as to stain their arms, and he groaned, prayed, and shuddered. At this moment, some strangers mounted on camels passed through the forum. They stopped for a moment and were quite overcome with pity and horror at the scene before them, upon which some of the bystanders explained the cause of what they witnessed. Some of these travelers had been baptized by John, and others had heard the sermon of Jesus on the mountain. The noise and tumult of the mob was even more deafening near the house of Pilate. Two fresh executioners took the places of the last mentioned, who were beginning to flag. Their scourges were composed of small chains, or straps covered with iron hooks, which penetrated to the bone, and tore off large pieces of flesh at every blow. What word, alas, could describe this terrible, this heart-rending scene? The cruelty of these barbarians was nevertheless not yet satiated. They untied Jesus and again fastened him up with his back turned towards the pillar. He was totally unable to support himself in an upright position, so they passed cords round his waist, under his arms, and above his knees, and having bound his hands tightly into the rings which were placed at the upper part of the pillar, they recommenced scourging him with even greater fury than before. One among them struck him constantly on the face with a new rod. The body of our Lord was perfectly torn to shreds. It was but one wound. He looked at his torturers with his eyes filled with blood, as if entreating mercy. But their brutality appeared to increase, and his moans each moment became more feeble. The dreadful scourging had been continued without intermission for 3/4 of an hour, when a stranger of lowly birth, a relation to Ctesiphon, the blind man whom Jesus had cured, rushed from amidst the crowd and approached the pillar with a knife shaped like a cutlass in his hand. "Cease!" he exclaimed in an indignant tone. "Cease! Scourge not this innocent man unto death!" The drunken miscreants, taken by surprise, stopped short, while he quickly severed the cords which bound Jesus to the pillar and disappeared among the crowd. Jesus fell almost without consciousness on the ground, which was bathed with his blood. The executioners left him there and rejoined their cruel companions, who were amusing themselves in the guardhouse with drinking and plaiting the crown of thorns. Our Lord remained for a short time on the ground at the foot of the pillar, bathed in his own blood, and 2 or 3 bold-looking girls came up to gratify their curiosity by looking at him. They gave a glance and were turning away in disgust, but at the moment the pain of the wounds of Jesus was so intense that he raised his bleeding head and looked at them. They retired quickly, and the soldiers and guards laughed and made game of them. During the time of the scourging of our Lord, I saw weeping angels approach him many times. I likewise heard the prayers he constantly addressed to his Father for the pardon of our sins, prayers which never ceased during the whole time of the infliction of this cruel punishment. Whilst he lay bathed in his blood, I saw an angel present to him a vase containing a bright-looking beverage, which appeared to reinvigorate him in a certain degree. The archers soon returned, and after giving him some blows with their sticks, made him rise and follow them. He raised himself with the greatest difficulty, as his trembling limbs could scarcely support the weight of his body. They did not give him sufficient time to put on his clothes, but threw his upper garment over his naked shoulders and led him from the pillar to the guardhouse, where he wiped the blood which trickled down his face with a corner of his garment. When he passed before the benches on which the high priest was seated, they cried, "Put him to death! Crucify him!" and then turned away disdainfully. The executioners led him into the interior of the guardhouse, which was filled with slaves, archers, hodmen, and the very dregs of the people. But there were no soldiers. The great excitement among the populace alarmed Pilate so much that he sent to the fortress of Antonia for a reinforcement of Roman soldiers and posted these well-disciplined troops round the guardhouse. They were permitted to talk and to deride Jesus in every possible way, but were forbidden to quit their ranks. These soldiers, whom Pilate had sent for to intimidate the mob, numbered about 1,000. Chapter 23. Mary during the flagellation of our Lord. I saw the Blessed Virgin in a continual ecstasy during the time of the scourging of her divine Son. She saw and suffered with inexpressible love and grief all the torments he was enduring. She groaned feebly, and her eyes were red with weeping. A large veil covered her person, and she leaned upon Mary of Heli. Mary of Cleophas, the daughter of Mary of Heli, was there also. The friends of Jesus and Mary stood around the latter. They wore large veils, appeared overcome with grief and anxiety, and were weeping as if in the momentary expectation of death. Magdalene was totally beside herself from grief, and her hair was floating loosely under her veil. When Jesus fell down at the foot of the pillar after the flagellation, I saw Claudia Proclus, the wife of Pilate, send some large pieces of linen to the Mother of God. I know not whether she thought that Jesus would be set free, and that his mother would then require linen to dress his wounds, or whether this compassionate lady was aware of the use which would be made of her present. At the termination of the scourging, Mary came to herself for a time, and saw her divine Son all torn and mangled, being led away by the archers after the scourging. He wiped his eyes, which were filled with blood, that he might look at his mother, and she stretched out her hands towards him, and continued to look at the bloody traces of his footsteps. I soon after saw Mary and Magdalene approach the pillar where Jesus had been scourged. The mob were at a distance, and they were partly concealed by the other holy women and by a few kind-hearted persons who had joined them. They knelt down on the ground near the pillar and wiped up the sacred blood with the linen which Claudia Proclus had sent. This has been taken from the Dolorous Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ, from the Visions of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, published by Tan Books. For more information, call 1-800-437-5876 or find them on the web at www.tanbooks.com. This work is in the public domain.
This has been Christian Classics with Teresa Hofer. Listen every Monday through Friday at this time as Teresa continues her great readings and selections from classic Christian literature. Right here on the Ave Maria Radio Network, news and talk for Catholic and other Christians.